All right, Dante Witter yesterday. Before we get to the lines, we're going to get to Rocky and Vallejo. Just hang on tight real quick. I want you to react to this. Dante Witter, 49ers post game, ABC Sports Bay Area. Here's Dante Witter. Is it a code red? Is it time to panic?
Code red. I'm ready to hit the red button.
Ooh.
And mainly because they're not doing anything well. They're not stopping the run. They're not setting the edge. They're not getting consistent pressure on the quarterback. They're not stopping the explosive plays. They're not tackling well. They're not communicating well. They're not playing leverage. They're not doing anything well right now. And the margin for error is very slim in the National Football League. And when you're not right where you're supposed to be, you don't have the continuity on defense, it's easy for teams and quarterbacks like Matthew Stafford and of his caliber to dissect you. So they're going to have a players only meeting this week and get back to basics and get back that championship DNA and identity and play physical within the trenches.
Week three, we're talking about players only meeting.
Did you order the code red?
Hey, well, Coach Pagano, who's always on the Pat McAfee show, says they asked about players only meetings. This is hilarious. Hilarious soundbite. But he goes, you know, when I heard that they were having a players only meetings, I went back to my office and I called my wife. I said, hey, let's just go ahead and put the house on sale. Let's go ahead and put the house on the market because we're not going to last long if we're already having players-only meetings. Now, I don't think Shanahan's going anywhere, but the fact that Dante Witter is requesting a players-only meeting after week three is alarming.
Outside of Fred, and I would throw Kittle in the mix as well, who has excelled since signing their contract?
Juwan Jennings signed an extender.
All right. The mega deals on this.
The mega deals with Trent played well. I know it's not popular to say right now, but Trent, when he did get his money, he played at all pro level.
Well, he looks like he's on a farewell tour.
Right now,
it looks like he's ready to go to Arizona. But
you asked me though. He played well when he got his contract a couple years ago, and he threatened to go to Kansas City.
Okay, I'll give you that.
To get on the phone and say, "Hey, hold on tight."
I'll give you that.
Jimmy Ward, I thought he played well when he signed his contract.
Okay.
He played well. Now,
it's going back 5 years ago,
that's what it is.
Armstead was up and down.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would say more, you know, not even close to what we're expecting. Debo hasn't been as good as we wanted, even though we all love Debo. And I still believe in him, but I don't think it's been as good as I would like. And then I'm looking at Ayuk early on. It doesn't look great. Bosa hasn't looked great since signing his. Like, there's a level of, hey, I got mine. And it's tough to see as a fan.
Well, Bosa's got to get going. And Nick Sorensen, are we sure Nick Sorensen's going to end the year as defensive coordinator? What is going on? I mean, we talked about Steve Wilks. And trust me, I saw on Twitter yesterday, our boy BPA was spamming me, and all of a sudden, Bonte, I'm winning. I saw the tweet. He goes, "I'm willing to admit that Wilkes is better than Sorensen."
I have a big mouth sometimes.
Do you know what people are calling him?
Who, Nick Sorensen?
Yeah.
What are they calling him?
Cole Seavers, the fall guy.
Oh, well, I mean, Nick Sorensen, I mean, Steve Wilkes was.
You didn't like that. Fidelity.
Shanahan was at the Chris Carter forum where you have to have a fall guy.
Well, Shanahan was my favorite. It's like, Shanahan, we knew it was coming. You knew the fake punt was coming, and yet you looked like you never knew that the fake punt was coming.
Let's hear from Fred Warner before we go out to the lines. Let's hear from Fred Warner on the fake punt.
But at the end of the day, you know, sudden change, you're going to be in those situations throughout a game. Obviously, you don't want to be in that situation, but offensively, we can't give up 7 points or 6 points right there. You know, we got to hold them either to a field goal, get a takeaway. We had no takeaways today. Usually, if we're minus in the takeaway margin, we're going to have a hard chance of winning.
Diamondur Lenore on the special teams miscues.
You know, with the new way that they have to play special teams, it's kind of difficult. So, I mean, it's kind of everyone getting a feel for it, I would say. I don't think it's like, I think it's just a learning curve, you know. We're going to try to be better, you know, next week, you know, to capitalize and finish the game. You know, I feel like that was one of our goals this year, is finishing, and we're doing a pretty bad job at finishing.
It was a punt, not a kickoff, it wasn't the new rule. It was something we've been doing for 60 years, which is a normal punt, and we didn't cover it well. Now, the finishing part, 100%.
Purdy on his pass to Ronnie Bell before we get to the lines.
Ronnie Bell.
Look, this is leadership right here from Brock Purdy. Leadership.
He had a double move, and that was the look we wanted, and he got his guy. And, you know, by the time I got to him, I think I was just trying to give him a chance, and I don't know if I had enough juice on it just from where I was at in the pocket. So just try to give him a chance, and obviously I think I could still give him a better ball and everything. So, but he's a young guy. I love him, man, and we all got Ronnie's back, so we're going to continue to need him and build him up, and we're all in this together, man. It's a team sport, man, so it's not one player, one play here. It's all of them.
Leadership from Brock Purdy, who played – I thought if you looked at his, what is that, 31st start yesterday? I thought yesterday was by far, it was the top three performance from Brock Purdy. I was blown away, and it was a lot of fun watching him do what he did yesterday. That's what we wanted. We wanted to see him play without those guys, Shasky, and he played exceptional football without those guys.
Brock's too classy, so I'll say it for him. Ronnie Bell's got to catch that damn ball. And that ball hit him in the face mask. Well, He has. It went right through both hands. Catch the ball, doggy. Well, make a play.
He doesn't make plays. Let's go to Rocky and Vallejo. Rocky, what's happening?
Marco Luciano thinks
hey, man,
that Ronnie Bell can't catch.
Hey, man, you guys are on fire, man. Great show, dude. It's very therapeutic. Okay, I want to mainly focus on the defense. And these are small changes I personally would make. Number one, I would put Hargrave only in on third down. Bring in Jordan Elliott. He's a big boy. He can stop the run. Hargrave only on third down. Two, number 45, Flanagan Flowers. He only plays 10-12 plays a game because he's a strong side linebacker. But, man, that guy cannot play. He fell down, like Chachi said earlier. Bring in Curtis Robinson, the preseason stud. And then lastly, Yadam, number 22, got to go. Let's go with the young guy, Green. I know he got a flag. He only played one play. Let's go with the young guy. Let's see what he got. You know, and I think the bad cuts, you know, I wanted to see Jalen Graham. Man, they let that guy go. Sam Womack, let him go. I put those on Lynch, man. Lynch. You know what? Hate to say it. I'm not the biggest fan of Lynch either, man, to be honest with you. But that's all I got. I'll take your guys' comments off the air.
You wonder, Shasky, real quick, when he talks about Lynch, and I think Lynch has done a superb job. But I had to saw it go through my head yesterday after the game. When does it catch up to you when you lose all the assistants on the coaching staff and the front office? I wonder. Now, it feels like this draft has been really good. So far, so good, right? But I do wonder, how much does that hurt a team? Do you recover from that? Maybe it's a minuscule thing. But I do wonder, losing all these guys they've lost in the front office and the coaching staff, if it's starting to catch up to him, because guys are in a position they don't need to be in. Nick Sorensen's not ready to be a defense coordinator. He's just not.
Okay. You could have hired anyone from outside the building. Anyone. You could have hired anyone. So I get your point.
Yeah, they try to get Spagnuolo, right? Yeah, they try to get Spags. They try to get guys.
So Spags is going to leave Andy Reid and Mahomes to come to you.
No, but they try to get him. They try to get Belichick to call the defense. But to your point, they tried to get these guys.
That's
guys.
Like
so all
Joe
I'm saying
that he's trying to get a date with Halle Berry.
Relax for a second. I'm just saying, losing all these guys, what does it catch up to you? They try to replace these guys. They couldn't. They couldn't replace these guys. You lost Adam Peters to Washington. You lost Grant Carthon to Tennessee. I mean, Grant Carthon may be getting fired soon anyway because Tennessee doesn't look like they're ready to play. But you know what I'm saying? You lost a lot of guys. When does it catch up to you? At some point, they tried to get guys to come here. And they come here. They didn't come here.
Monte,
they said no.
Monte, the team themselves wanted to play a certain way. They allowed the players on defense to dictate it. And I get when you have high paid players that you really like, but this is the bed they made and they have to lay in it. The players were adamant that they didn't want a scheme change. So they went with Sorensen. Yes, they sniffed around other people. I don't think they ever had intentions of actually getting a different scheme in here, unless it was Spagnuolo. And Spagnuolo was never going to leave Kansas City.
No, he's not leaving.
I mean, that's like, hey, you know, it's the mid-2000s and we're the Giants. We want to get Joe Torre. You're not getting him. Like, no, he's not leaving that situation. Why would Spagnuolo? And I get, like, we tried.
No, he didn't leave. No, but if you're saying getting in some other coaches, like, well, they tried. That's all I'm saying.
What other team in the league was going to elevate Nick Sorensen to DC?
No, nobody. That's my whole thing. That's why I said be careful what you wish for when it comes to Steve Wilkes. Because Steve Wilkes' defense never gave up 20 points in the second half.
You know what's coming.
They gave up 6 in the second half to Minnesota. They didn't give up much to Cleveland. All right? Cincinnati was struggling to the picks. Just saying. We gave Steve Wilkes a lot of heat. Now I don't even think he's the greatest defensive coordinator in the world. It's the reason why he's well-traveled. But we just elevated Nick Sorensen like it was nothing.
Well,
like it was like D'Amico Ryans is one thing because he played at a high level middle linebacker, Robert Saleh. But I'm willing to give Nick Sorensen the same grace we gave D'Amico Ryans or Robert Saleh. I just don't see anything from this game. I don't see anything from this defense. I don't see any creativity. And I see a lot of slow, unathletic players on that end of the football that really don't know what they're doing. And there's a problem defensively.
They have no other choice but to, like, see if they can turn around. So
you may have to promote Brandon Staley at some point. Oh, God. Dude, Kevin O'Connell undressed Nick Sorensen.
Yeah.
And this is a week after George Odom was playing press man on Justin Jefferson, for crying out loud. And then this week, Sean McVay was in his play sheet saying, I'm so far ahead of this guy, Nick Sorensen, they couldn't be stopped.
What is good on the defense right now?
That's what I'm saying.
They don't stop the run up the middle. They don't stop the run to the edges. They give up big chunk plays on third and long. They can't get to the quarterback. So I thought the secondary was going to be a strength. It's not. Charvarius has gotten cooked. They run these rub routes and these little pick plays over and over and over and over again. And there's miscommunications or guys are slow getting out of these combination routes. Like they don't have any two high safety looks. They always have a box safety in. And so it's one single high safety getting torched left and right. They tackle guys after they get beat like Isaac Yiddum did on the 48-yard play. Yiddum, Yiddum, it doesn't matter. Make a play.
Put some respect on his name, man.
I mean, again, another veteran third corner who stinks. They've done it year after year. So I just, there's not an element outside of Fred Warner that is elite on this defense. There's not one element.
They missed Drake Greenlaw, that's for sure.
Oh, massively.
They missed Drake Greenlaw. Let's go to Harmon in Danville. Harmon, what's happening?